I'm glad you're here because I think God is fabulous. From the very first exciting moment that he came into my life, I decided that he was not only alive, but he was really fabulous. And you know, somebody has said to me several times, really, I think that word fabulous doesn't really go with God, because do you know what fabulous means? I said, sure, I know what fabulous means. A fable is something that's unreal because it's so great. And I think God is really unreal because he is so great. But I also know that he is real, real because of what he's done in my particular life. Well, not only he's in my particular life, he's done a lot in a lot of people's lives, but the thing I'm going to tell you about tonight is my own particular life. I didn't become a Christian until I was 49 years old, which I think is a real interesting fact. As a matter of fact, if you study the statistics, you'll know that they say the chances of becoming a Christian I think about 87% become Christians in their teens, and then another 3 or 4% become Christians in the 20s. But by the time you get to be 49, you just ain't got no chance at all to ever be a Christian, because I guess there's just no chance. Well, I became a Christian at 49, so I really blew the statistics all over. And then not only did I blow the statistics, I blew a lot of other things, because when Christ came into my life, he opened my mouth, and I haven't shut it since then. Well, you can tell I have a friend in the audience tonight, because everybody knows that I open my mouth constantly for the cause of Jesus Christ. All day long, 24 hours a day. It's a shame I have to go to bed at night, but I'm sure if anybody cared to tape me at night, I'd probably talk about Jesus Christ in my sleep too. But I'd like to tell you how I became a Christian. I think it's a really exciting thing to realize how God has sort of stopped me all the years, and I wasn't smart enough to realize that what he was really saying was, Francis Gardner, I love you. I thought he was just playing a game of tennis, and I was running faster than he was running, and I really kept ahead of him for a real long time. But let me tell you what really happened. I never got to 49. I guess I really had what everybody in the world thinks are all the things that are really and truly necessary. I had a nice job. I had everybody thinks is really so important to being happy in life. And I really thought I was happy because I turned everything over, had somebody to go to my career, and I had martinis, and I could smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day. And of course, the next morning I couldn't breathe because I felt my chest was going to really crack wide open from smoking so many cigarettes the night before. But you know, I never forget the first time somebody asked me if you could say, I was having a blast out dancing. I was meant to get to teach dancing too. I'm probably so old and arthritic I couldn't even try anymore. But anyway, God-shaped vacuum, and I wasn't smart enough to know that all this constant running around all over the place and constantly having to be doing something was a desire. Been working for many, many years, although as I say, I was really too stupid to know that that's what he was doing. And sometimes I think things to happen to you, and this is what happened in my particular life. My son was married a few years ago, and involved in a very slight automobile accident. It was really sort of funny how it happened. I had a head. Going about 85 miles an hour. Now, of course, his car was so little that he didn't do any damage to mine. He really careened, but he didn't hurt mine at all, except for a little tiny the first time, and then careened off and came. The first time I went up and hit the side of the windshield. And the second time, I got a tremendous whiplash. However, there was no blood that I could see any place, so I thought nobody could possibly be hurt. So when I got out of the car, I said, oh, it doesn't make any difference. Nobody is hurt. Little did I realize that within 3 months, I would have lost the sight of one eye. I hope none of you are feeling sorry for me. When I think about this, I think about it as the greatest blessing that ever occurred in my entire life. And I would give both of my physical eyes for the privilege of having had my spiritual eyes opened. Because the loss of one physical eye was the thing that started me on the Christian road, and was the thing that started me on the road to having my spiritual eyes open. As I say, within 3 months, I had completely lost the sight of the one eye. The peculiar thing that happened on a Sunday that I realized I'd been out on Saturday night, and as is my custom before I go to bed, I always do. So I took my glasses off, and I thought, what in the world's the matter with my glasses? And as I took them off, details. But the next morning, before he ever got there, I was sitting at his office, and because I was so big and brave and I wasn't afraid of anything, and I knew that I could always take care of any situation that ever came up in life, I said, whatever it is, tell me. I said, I'm sure I've got a cataract. And I'll be real honest with you, I didn't really think that's what I had. I thought it was just some temporary little thing. And he said, that's right, you got a cataract. You know what I did? I cried. I cried all over the place. I guess, you know, when you have to be a mother and a father to children, you don't really allow yourself the privilege of being feminine very often, and I didn't allow myself the privilege of really crying. But this particular day, I really cried all over the place. And then when I got it with, I said, okay, now I've been feminine long enough, let's go. Let's go to an ophthalmologist or whatever it is you have to go to, and let's get it really all taken care of. So we went up, the ophthalmologist confirmed, and he said, well, now you can wait about 3 months. And I said, nope, let's do it right now, because I want to get it done, over with, and I don't want to have to worry about this anymore, because I'm not the least bit afraid. So he said, okay. This was on Monday, and on Thursday I was to be in the hospital. I went back to the office, cleared up the office, spent 3 wild days really getting everything cleaned up, and then came Thursday when I had to be at the hospital at 5 o'clock. I was not the least bit frightened, not the least bit scared, nothing. I was very scared because I knew that I was so desperate to could really bother me. Of course, I did take 2 hours getting to the hospital, so I didn't get there until after 7 o'clock. And when I did get there, I didn't quite get my money, so I just started to get here. And I guess maybe I was a little I prayed then too, and because that's when we always pray, isn't it, when you go to the hospital?